So our next presenter is Dr. Nancy Miller. The title of her presentation is Disparities by Gender, Disability, and Age in the Receipt of Preventive Services. And Dr. Miller is in the Department of Public Policy at the University of Maryland, Baltimore County.
Pardon? I did change my title.
I have a moment of like, which title should I use?
No, I did. You know, abstracts go in February, and then I did a little more work along the way in doing a paper, and the title did change along the way, but this is the correct title now. So, yes, is that right? Okay. So we are going to be talking about differences by gender, disability, and race. And I again want to thank everyone for coming out to this session. I'd like to acknowledge my co-authors, Adele Kirk, who's with us in the audience, Brandy Alston, who's a recent graduate of our program, and Lucas Gloss, who's in our doctoral program. And this study was funded by the National Institute for Rehabilitation, for Disability and Rehabilitation Research. A little bit in terms of why the research is important. Many of us know that one of the four overarching goals of Healthy People 2020 is elimination of health disparities. And it's echoed as a strategic direction in the National Prevention Strategy. AHRQ has been tasked with identifying health disparities along racial, ethnic, and socioeconomic lines, as well as identifying priority populations. And individuals, speaking to your point related to people with individuals, are one of the priority populations for these national studies. The most recent data from the Census Bureau suggests that as many as one in five individuals experience a disability. There are important differences by demographic characteristics. So obviously disability increases with age. So while a few children may experience a disability, adults over age 65, roughly 42% experience that, and it goes up as one grows older. Differences by race and ethnicity, so you tend to see higher differences, our rates, prevalence of disability among blacks and Hispanics relative to whites, again using information from the Census Bureau. Obviously decreases with increasing education and income. And gender, which is a focus of this paper, is that when you look at younger children, you actually see higher rates among boys relative to girls, but as we age, the disability prevalence is higher among women relative to men. And using information from the National Health Interview Survey, Barbara Altman and Bernstein have looked at limitations in basic and complex activity limitations and find that women experience disability more often than men. There's been little work focused on women with disability and their use of healthcare until recently. I would say it's really been within the last roughly 10 to 15 years that research has started to focus on this population. One focus in this research, and actually I think a very notable focus of the research, is really related to women with disability and their use of preventive services. These services include immunizations, cancer screening, screening for hypertension, and counseling for activities such as smoking. Individuals with disabilities will benefit from preventive screening, much as will the general older population, but in the disability field, there's been an increasing recognition that not only is it important for general health, but it can alleviate and reduce the likelihood of developing secondary conditions among individuals with disabilities. If you look specifically at the use of preventive services among women with disabilities, my reading of that is that the findings are really quite inconsistent, and they vary by the type of services you're looking at. So are you looking at screening for cervical cancer versus breast cancer versus blood pressure screening? There's a very inconsistent kind of measures of disability, and so you see differences depending on the type of disability. So whether you're looking at, say, a lower mobility limitation versus, say, a cognitive impairment. And then differs by data sources and also by the duration of disability. And so what we did in this paper was we initially started with this focus on women with disabilities and their use of preventive services, and we extended it to really more fully explore the effects of gender and disability and age in the receipt of preventive services. I'm going to skip over our definitions other than to say that they're consistent with Healthy People 2020 and consistent with the work of the Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality. And so what we'd like to do is compare receipt of preventive services and testing these gender and disability differences by age, adults age 18 to 64 relative to 65 years and older. And then after that, looking at the impact of a usual source of care. A usual source of care is a very clear policy amenable variable that can impact both age groups. And then I thought I had the right one in here, but I'm seeing it's right up until away, so ignore that last piece. I'll come back to it. So this is going to be, I think they're going to be odds ratios. So, Marcia, I have the same issue that you did, and we'll correct them along the way. Please bear with me. Okay. We do draw on Ron Anderson's behavioral model of healthcare used to examine the effect of a predisposing characteristic, gender, and age, as well as a usual source of care and presence of a disability. I think importantly, and this kind of happened over more recently as we were working with this, we drew from a very nice piece that appeared in the Gerontologist a few years ago looking at issues related to gender and age and use of health services to more fully inform our discussion of the gender, disability, and age differences that we actually do observe in our study. So we hypothesized that these relations between disability, gender, and receipt of preventive services would vary by age, and that receipt would be higher among older adults relative to adults age 18 to 64. We used the Medical Expenditure Panel Survey, which is a survey drawn from the National Health Interview Survey. We pool 5 years of MEPS data, and we need to pool that number of years primarily because of our measures of disability and particularly for measures of people with complex limitations, which I'll define in a minute. Even in a sample size of, say, 40,000, you get a very small number of people with a complex disability also. So we needed that number of years. We looked at seven measures of preventive services, the majority of which are U.S. Preventive Services Task Force, ARB, rated measures. And then we also looked at a summary measure similar to the work of Shenson and Linda Anderson, looking at the percentage of recommended services that were received. And these were appropriate to gender, age, and risk. And what that means is, as Marcia mentioned, there are differences by age in recommendations. Some things like smoking, counseling for smoking, you would only receive if you were a smoker. You only receive exercise advice if you're obese following these guidelines. So these are percents adjusted for those differences. Our variables of interest are clearly gender, disability, and age. Let me say a word about our measure of disability. Our measure of disability is consistent with the ICF, and it reflects the measure that's used in the AHRQ disparities reports. Basically, a person has no disability, a basic disability, and a basic disability would include a disability that's in physical functioning, sensory measure, a cognitive measure, a mental health measure. A complex disability, which would be functional limitations or work-related limitations, and then both. And again, going back to sample size, it's the people with complex disabilities that are very few in most sample sizes. And we look at those differences by age. We look at 18 to 64 because when we started this work, we were really focused on women. And much of the work there is in this age group, so we wanted to be able to be consistent with that. We also look at other predisposing characteristics, income, and in particular, we're looking at a usual source of care, self-reported health status, MSA and region. These are binary variables. You received it or you didn't. So for most of these, we use logistic regressions adjusted for covariates. And then to test whether they're age differences, we use post-estimation techniques to test for these differences of the gender and disability-related groups between ages. And then for the summary measure, we use an ordinary least squares, and we account for the MEPS complex survey design. Okay? These are like great tables, which I'm going to skip over, but this will be up on the web, and you can spend all the time you want to look at looking at our great tables, and we'll move on to graphs one of these days like Marcia's. But anyway, I'll tell you what's in those tables. Okay, so descriptively, more older adults were female. A higher share of older adults, much like Marcia was showing, were non-Hispanic white. Non-elderly adults, a higher share are black and Hispanic. And a higher share of adults 18 to 64 had no usual source of care, so fully a quarter of people under age 65 had no usual source of care compared to 6% among older adults, so that's a pretty large difference. Older adults report poor health status. Descriptively, we found older adults received more preventive services across all the services we observed, and they also received a higher share of the recommended services for their age, risk, and gender. The multivariate findings, very quickly, I'm moving through them by gender, so women then men, and then by age, 18 to 64 versus 65 plus. So in terms of women aged 18 to 64, we find that relative, well, I should say, the way our variables are constructed is they're constructed as dummy variables. So we have 8 dummy variables that are gender and disability specific. So we have men with no disabilities, men with a basic, a complex, or both, and the same for women. Our reference category is men with no disabilities, and we're looking at the effects of the other gender disability groups relative to men without disabilities. So having said that, and for services that are specific to women, our reference category is women with no disabilities. So relative to women with no limitations, women aged 18 to 64 had a higher probability of receiving most of the preventive services that we observed. I should say that there are variations by type of disability, so you don't necessarily see that there's higher receipt across basic, complex, and both. But there's a general pattern for women with disabilities receiving more of the screening services. However, for women who had either a basic limitation or a basic and complex, they were less likely to be screened for cervical cancer relative to women without a limitation. And then we, for our summary measure, didn't observe significant differences in this age group. For 65 and older, we again see that women with disabilities have a higher probability of receiving services, but we see it less consistently, just meaning that we see it for fewer services. We see for some services there is no difference between women with and women without for receipt of certain services. However, importantly, women age 65 and older with disabilities had a significantly lower percentage of services received. So for a woman without a disability, 75% had received all recommended services compared to 69% for women with disabilities. Turning now to men, we see the same pattern, but we see it more consistently. So for men across more types of disability and across more services, we see that having a disability is associated with receipt of preventive health services. And also, men with disabilities relative to men without were more likely to receive a higher percentage of services. When we turn to men age 65 and older, we see similar findings, but again, less strong, less consistent across types of services. So you can see with certain screening services, we don't see a difference between men with and without disabilities. A few covariates. a usual source of care, which I talked about, very consistently across services and the percentage measures, having a usual source of care matters, and having a usual source of care that is a provider matters even more. The differences between a site and provider range 7 percentage points for blood pressure screening to as high as something like 34-35% for receipt of a colonoscopy or receipt of mammography. So these are very kind of notable differences. So just a few policy implications. For most services, women and men with disabilities had a higher probability of receipt of services. We found more significant differences among those age 18 and 64 relative to those older. This is somewhat consistent, and I want to tread lightly here, but consistent with the discussion of Calasanti, which found that illness experiences as well as age can kind of moderate some of the relations between disability, gender, and use of health services. There were some important differences where receipt was lower. Again, cervical screening cancer for women, colon cancer screening for men, that was actually about 12 percentage points lower among men with a basic limitation. Previous work has found, again, differences by type of disability, although the findings are mixed. And so I think it's really important. We discussed this in my last session also. But really digging in more and kind of to the extent that preventive services are important to maintaining health, really more fully understanding these differences by gender, the type of disability a particular person may have, and their receipt of preventive care. Adults had a higher probability of receiving clinical preventive services. This, again, is consistent with other work that's been done by Shinson and colleagues using the Behavioral Risk Factor Surveillance Survey. And I apologize for my last-minute typo there, it may reflect some greater exposure to the healthcare system. I will say we all would think, or at least myself trained on the Anderson model and trained to believe in health insurance, we might think this is a health insurance effect because older adults, obviously, virtually everyone has Medicare coverage. You have much lower rates of insurance coverage on working age. We ran these models with health insurance and, in fact, found that health insurance didn't change any of the effects with one exception. Across services, receipt continues to be suboptimal. Access to a usual source of care is important. And there's some the Affordable Care Act, several provisions there, which should increase access not only to a primary care provider, but also access to preventive services. Also the provisions related to eliminating cost-sharing provisions in Medicare, having higher FMAP in Medicaid programs, and eliminating cost-sharing in private insurance should facilitate, because if you look at one of the primary barriers, it's a cost barrier. So these should facilitate. In summary, we do, going back to our initial discussion, older women experience disparate disability. We think this could be remedied in part by their receipt of services at younger ages, and we can do that through enhancing access to a usual source of care, addressing cost concerns, and I touched on it more in the paper, but really linkages between newly developing community-based models of care like the SPARKS program funded by CDC, linking that with clinical care, can move us forward. So, thank you.